Comics podcast. As always, I'm your host Adam, and with me, as always, is my co-host Jordan. Jordan, how's it going today?
I am in a bat-tastic mood today, Adam.
All right.
Cool. And I'll explain to you if you'll indulge me for a sec. I'll explain to you why that is.
Sure.
One, we are less than 2 months away from the Batcat wedding officially. As of today, we are 60 days away. It's on July 4th. It is May 5th today as we're recording this. And so that means we're less than 6 months away. And I can't wait because
it is... Less than 6 months?
Less than 2 months.
Oh, you said 6 months.
Did I say six? Yeah. Oh, my bad. Less than 2 months
away. I was going to say what happened.
Did
the holiday rent have to change days? What's going on here?
Oh, thank God. Thank God. No, that's not the case. I think because I said 60 days away.
Yeah, I think you got, yeah.
So I think I messed up my words. But yes, we are less than 2 months away. I'm very excited about that. One other thing I'm very excited about that relates to that is that we are going to be talking about some Batcat on this episode. So that makes me very excited. And also, I'm very happy today because it was Free Comic Book Day today.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to my local comic shop today, which is, to give them a shout-out, Challenges Games and Comics in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's in a suburb of Atlanta. It's in Decatur, Georgia. Anyway, I went there today. It's the same place. If anybody listened to the panel that I posted on our podcast feed that I did with Rebecca Johnson and Camion Ray and Sark Sarkeesian, a few months ago, that was hosted by Challenges Games and Comics. So anyway, I went back there today. It's my local comic shop. I read comics digitally for the most part, so I wish I gave them more business, but I don't. But I always like to go out when they do events and stuff. So I went out for Free Comic Book Day today.
To which they respond, "Oh, here comes that cheap bastard that doesn't give us any business."
Well, I gave them a little bit of business today.
This comic book guy private messaged me and told me that, folks. It's a
I wasn't able to, because I was living in Massachusetts last year for Free Comic Book Day. I wasn't able to go there last year for Free Comic Book Day. I actually went with my college buddy who was part of my DC Comics Club in college. The DC Comics Club I founded. He was my most frequent attendee to that, and we became really good friends. So last year I went with my buddy. His name is Harry Malinowski. I'm hoping to get him on the show sometime soon so that he can talk some DC with us. But last year I went with him for Free Comic Book Day. This year wasn't able to do that, but I was able to get to my local comic shop this year, which was a lot of fun. I picked up DC Nation number 0, which I had already read digitally on Wednesday, but I picked up a physical copy. Unfortunately, they didn't have any of the Batcat covers left, which I was really bummed about. But they had a cover. Well, the Batcat in the main cover, Bruce and Selina are represented there because they're one third of the cover.
That's the one where Joker's in the background.
Yes. The background. Yeah. Looking over the invitation. Yeah. So I got that cover. I got that. I got a new DC Superhero Girls comic, which was really good.
Nice.
I got a Venom poster.
That's free. That's a cool poster.
Which is really cool,
Side note, this is not our Marvel episode. We'll do it with Scott soon. But I enjoyed that trailer, but we'll get into more of that.
Oh, that trailer is sick, dude.
Yeah.
It looks so good.
But we'll get into that on our episode.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So I was there at Free Comic Book Day. I met Black Lightning and Static cosplayers, really cool.
What's his name? Chris Williams was at your comic store?
Unfortunately cool. not. Yeah. And neither was Phil Lamar for Static.
Yeah.
But no, I met some pretty cool Black Lightning and Static cosplayers. It was actually coincidentally the second Free Comic Book Day in a row that I met Static. because there was a Static cosplayer at the comic book shop I went to in New York last year with my buddy Harry. So it was just very coincidental. It was a weird coincidence, but it was very cool. For lunch, I went to Burger King because I should clue the listeners in case anybody doesn't know, Burger King has Justice League action toys right now.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah, I saw the commercial for that, actually.
Oh, you did?
I don't know if they give them to us here, but the channel I was watching was American, so...
Oh, nice. Do they not usually have the same toys in Canada?
Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. They're very picky.
Okay.
I'll have to go one of these days and see if they have them.
Yeah, definitely worth checking out because they're really cool toys.
Also, I haven't had a Whopper in years, so why the hell not?
anytime one of the fast food restaurants has a DC promotion, anytime I eat out for the whole month that they have it, I only go to that place pretty much. So like all month, anytime I've eaten out for the past month or so, I've only been going to Burger King. So I've got right now I've got a Supergirl necklace, I've got a Superman figure, I've got two Batmans, and I got the Joker. So I'm doing pretty well with my collection there. So anyway, that's what I did today, this afternoon. All afternoon I was at my comic book shop, except for a little break when I went and picked up a Joker from Burger King. So yeah, I guess that pretty much explains why I'm so in such a bat-tastic mood today, Adam.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, it was a good time all around.
It was, absolutely, man. How about you? Did you do anything for
my comic book guy? Because he's Italian, like me. He has all his regulars in the store, and we have a little bit of a lunch together, and we sit down and, talk about, geek things.
That sounds like fun.
As I want to do, and I often have to defend the DC films while I'm there, but I do it in spades. Thank you very much.
I had to do the same thing today, so I'm right there with you.
So I had a good meal. Then I got some free stuff.
Did you get either the DC Nation number zero or DC Superhero Girls?
I have DC Nation number zero. I just haven't read it because you know the way I do my my reading order. I save what I think is going to be the best books for last. And
yeah, so I do the same thing. By the way, I think that's a smart way to do things. So I do the same thing.
So I'm not there yet. I will read it on Sunday. It'll probably be. Our listeners are going to be shocked, but not that they really care, but it might shock them. On my last day of my comic book reading, because I read far more than Jordan, much to my wallet's chagrin, but my last three books are going to be Avengers number one, which is the Marvel representative on the list. It's going to be Batman number whatever number it is.
46.
That's right. And then I'm
which gonna do, is amazing, by
and,
the way.
And Adam. I did like part one of that storyline. So I'm
looking forward to
part
two. Yes.
and then the last one I'm gonna read is DC Nation number zero, so it better be good.
Here's what Batman 46, phenomenal. so good. Continuing on, because I love 45 also. And yeah, 46, phenomenal. DC Nation number zero, one story is amazing. That's Tom King's story, which probably shouldn't surprise anybody that I think that.
Yeah, nobody's lost their mind over that.
The Superman story I thought was really good.
Right, but I think Bendis wrote that, right? Which is sort of leads into his run, which I'm intrigued about.
And there's a Smallville nod in there, so look out for that.
Cool, yeah.
And then the Justice League story, I did not care for very much at all.
All right. You brought up Smallville, so I'll bring it up really quickly.
Uh-huh.
If you want Smallville nods, you should read Birthright.
I think you made that recommendation to me before,
I'll keep doing it until you read the damn book. a lot of the Lex... Superman dynamic is very small though. Is very much a nod to Smallville. That's once again I will keep pounding you until you read that.
I appreciate the recommendation.
but let's get right into the news portion of today's episode. What do we got?
Yes, well, your most anticipated movie ever, Teen Titans Go to the Movies, has a trailer. It's the first.
Just let me clarify, that will never on any earth be my most anticipated movie ever. my most anticipated movie coming this year still remains Aquaman. So, yeah.
I was kidding.
I know. I just wanted to. I want to make sure the listeners know that you're joking.
Oh yes, I was just joking. But
I'll
yes.
Find out why you're joking when I give my opinion on the trailer.
It's the first. I should clarify. It's the first full trailer. It's the because we got a teaser trailer, but this is the first full trailer.
Yeah.
I guess I'm gonna start off and say something just from the start that I really liked about this trailer because I have a feeling I'm gonna be a lot more positive on this trailer than Adam is.
Well, it doesn't take Nostradamus to figure that one out.
Yeah. I thought it was so cool that when the Teen Titans were at the movie theater that we saw the Batman the Animated Series Batman design.
I'll echo that. That was probably the best part of the trailer.
That was so cool. And then when Alfred showed up, and it was hilarious. I thought this was hilarious when Robin's all excited because he thinks it's going to be his movie. And they're like, Batman's greatest ally. And then it's Alfred. And it definitely felt like they were doing, I don't know who's voicing Alfred in that, but it sounded like he was doing a Michael Caine impersonation for sure.
I've heard people say that it was Jason Statham.
Oh, was it really?
I don't know if that's a fact, but I heard that
That would be awesome. Actually, fun fact, Jason Statham is somebody who I have been saying for a while that I think in 20 years or so, he could be a great, like, Earth One-inspired Alfred.
Yeah, when there's a reboot of the Matt Reeves franchise, we'll get to that, yeah.
Yeah, I think he would be so good.
But I'll say that. I enjoyed that part of it.
Okay.
The fact that Batman the Animated Series, there was a nod to that. And if they ever made a badass, like, Alfred movie... like a real Alfred movie, where it shows his history and you know the badass version of him, I'd watch it.
That would be really cool. I'd just throw that out there.
Yeah, but yeah.
And again, Jason Statham would probably be really good in the role.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another way they could go. They could do a Alfred like prequel movie with, and they wouldn't even have to wait a few years for Jason Statham to get older. They could do one now with him at his current age and have him doing badass stuff like he always does.
Yeah.
So I love that. I loved hearing our first taste of Nicolas Cage as Superman.
I didn't do anything for me. I've had a problem with Nicolas Cage for the last few years because he overacts in everything he does, even movies where he's supposed to be serious, not overacting. What's his name? Nicolas Cage has lost his luster, where I'm concerned. So,
Adam, I don't think I'm not like a huge Nicolas Cage fan. I don't think I would have wanted to see him play Superman in live action.
Yeah, definitely not.
But I think it's still really cool. It's sort of like it was to see Billy Dee Williams play Two-Face finally in the Lego Batman movie.
Sure, I think it's cool that he's finally gonna get to do it in some form. Having said that, I would rather them do a offshoot like. I think we've talked about this before. I'd rather them produce the scripts the unmade movie scripts as animated movies and then get the actors that were supposed to play the characters, voice them.
I'm totally with you.
I would have rather him play the voice of Superman in that than
Well, this doesn't preclude him from also doing that at some point.
I guess not.
But okay. I loved how many DC characters showed up in cameos in this trailer. I mean, there's probably 100 in this trailer. My favorite one being Catwoman, who shows up in, I didn't even catch this until my second time watching the trailer, and I freaked out when I saw it. She's there with Poison Ivy under this sign that says Gotham City Sirens musical at the theater, and she's in the doorway, and you can see her with Poison Ivy there.
Yeah, I caught that little cameo. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was my favorite of them, but there were so many of them. There's this one part in the trailer where it's they're talking about every superhero is getting a movie, has gotten a movie except for us. And you see Steel, and you see Jonah Hex, and you see Captain Marvel. And I thought that was really cool.
I mean, they certainly, I'll give them credit. They certainly captured the idea that pretty much every superhero imaginable is getting a movie. They did capture that idea. But I will never be a fan. First of all, any reminders that a Jonah Hex movie or a Steel movie existed are not good things for me. So the fact that I'm reminded that yes,
it's a joke about.
But DC's at a point where they need to sort of, they're already the butt of the joke for most average moviegoers are piling on with this notion of, well, DC can't get anything right, and now you have a movie that is basically wink wink nudge nudge, yeah, you guys are right. So I don't. It's just like when Big Bang makes fun of Aquaman, like it's a Warner Brothers show making fun of a Warner Brothers property. To me, that's the wrong way to go. So that's part of the reason why I don't like this idea for this movie. But
well, they're right. In my opinion, they're right about, well, at least Jonah Hex.
Don't get me wrong. They're not. They're look. I'm not advocating that the movies are great by any means. I'm not trying to defend DC's prior stupidity. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, in a scenario where as DC fans we're inundated on the internet with DC sucks, they can't get anything right, the Rotten Tomatoes this, that, and the other. So there's already a negative stigma towards DC, and here you have a DC movie, because they're trying to make a joke, are perpetuating the negativity.
I think it would be one thing if they were, I think I would be very frustrated if they were making fun of one of the DC movies in, well, their current continuity in the DCEU. But this is a movie that, I mean, it doesn't matter anymore. Jonah Hex came out in 2010. Sure. I mean, and Steel came out in the 90s. So it's like, I feel like it's sort of, I understand where you're coming from, Adam. I do.
Well, here's an example. The Green Lantern comment, right?
Yeah.
We don't talk about that. Like, there are actual fans of that movie. And to me, if you're a fan of that movie, I'm not. Look, everybody knows there's not going to be a sequel to that version of the movie. But if you're a fan of that movie, we've had enough people crapping on it. A movie featuring DC characters owned by Warner Brothers should not be piling it on for the sake of a joke, in my opinion.
I'm one of those fans of that Green Lantern movie. I think that Green Lantern movie is really, really good. But, and from that perspective, like, that joke I did not care for, because I do like that Green Lantern movie. But also, I don't think it's, I mean, again, Green Lantern, that's history now.
Okay, here's another example. The previous trailer, when they're like, there was a line where they said something about, they were talking about Wonder Woman, and then they're like, Aquaman's getting a movie, like they're making a joke about it. And I'm like, aren't we trying to beef up Aquaman's, cachet, his reputation? And
you see, the way I took that joke, that joke was, I don't think it was making fun of the fact that it's Aquaman. I think that joke was supposed to be to mean like even a character who never would have thought of movie.
Either way, it's a slight towards Aquaman.
But it's saying it pulled it off. It's like they're going to pull it. It's not like it's a bad. They're not saying that Aquaman's going to be bad. They're saying that it's surprising that we're in a. It's saying that it's surprising that we're in a day and age where even Aquaman, who, let's be honest, I would have never thought 10 years ago that we'd be seeing an Aquaman movie now.
Hold on a second. But nobody, no DC fan thought 10 years ago we're going to see any movies other than Batman and Superman. So that's, I mean, that's.
No, I don't think that's true. I mean, Green Lantern came out in 20. Jonah Hex in 2010. Green Lantern in 2011. A Wonder Woman movie's been in development forever.
Yeah, so like, and it was never happening. So most DC fans resigned themselves to the fact that the only characters we'd see on screen were Batman and Superman. So I don't know. To me, it's just the poking fun at your own brand doesn't land with me, and neither did the cartoon. So this movie appeals to me on like I said, zero levels. It just, that trailer could have, you know, real life Margot Robbie come on the screen and say, please go watch this movie, and I'd still not go watch that movie. So I just have zero interest in this thing at all. Again, happy it exists for fans of that particular show and for kids, but I have absolutely zero interest in it.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Adam. I thought, I keep going on with my positives because there's a lot I still do enjoy about this trailer. I thought when Slade makes his entrance and Cyborg has the whole thing, I'm pretty sure you're Deadpool. That cracked me
up. Yeah. Okay. That was mildly amusing. Yeah. Okay. I'll give you that.
I thought that was hilarious. I like the, it looks like the premise is that, I mean, it's, we obviously know what the beginning of the, we've obviously known for a while what the initial premise of the movie is, which is that basically the Teen Titans want their own movie and they go to Hollywood and they get rejected by Rose Wilson. Is it Rose? I think it is.
I'm pretty sure it's Rose.
It's Rose. Okay. But that's the thing though. Rose has appeared on Teen Titans Go before as Ravager. So that's why I'm not sure if it is Rose. But, anyway, whatever the case may be, they get rejected. They don't want to make a movie about the Titans, but then it looks like by the end of the movie, it looks like what's going to happen is that Slade's going to take control of basically all of the heroes in the DC universe. And so the Titans are going to have to fight them all off and presumably, I guess, prove that they deserve their own movie. That's what it looks like to me is going to be the case. So like we see them like fighting the Atom. There's a deleted scene from this trailer, like an extra scene that Jimmy Kimmel posted on Twitter, and it looks like Jimmy Kimmel is going to be voicing Batman in this movie.
Which is another negative for me. Like, look, I like Jimmy Kimmel, but on no earth in any scenario do I want to have him voicing Batman.
Here's what I'll say about that. I agree. I'm not looking forward to that. That being said, I do not think it will be any worse than Will Arnett, and my working theory going into this movie was that Will Arnett, I was thinking that he was going to pull a surprise. It was going to be a surprise. And
he's doing Deathstroke, right?
He's playing Deathstroke, yeah. And I was thinking, because Batman appears all the time on Teen Titans Go, but he never speaks. And so I thought they were going to sort of surprise us and have Will Arnett reprise his role as Batman. I don't think Jimmy Kimmel's going to be, basically Jimmy Kimmel, I think is going to be just as bad as Will Arnett, if I have to be honest. Like, they're just going to play it for laughs and it's not going to be the Batman that I want to hear.
But the whole thing is a laugh fest, and that's.
I know, and here's why, and this is something I go back to. Here's why I'm able to accept Teen Titans Go more than, and this is something you've asked me about before, why I'm okay with this more so than I am with the Lego Batman movie. The reason for that is I'm more open to other DC characters being portrayed in a comedic light than I am with Batman being portrayed that way.
And I just, the reason why I have, well, aside from I tried watching the show and I didn't like it, to me, I like my DC animation more in the vein of Batman the Animated Series, the Justice League, and Young Justice. That's the kind of animation I prefer.
The Batman?
And Tony. Yeah, and the Batman too. So this kind of...
And Beware the Batman?
Beware the Batman was, well, it was too short for me to really make it. It was just picking up steam when it got axed, so I can't really... But the tone of it was rather straightforward and playing it straight, so I did appreciate that.
You like the original Teen Titans animated series, right?
Yeah. Yeah, again, because they played it straight.
For the most part.
Yeah. I mean,
what I always say is so strong. I love the original Teen Titans animated series, and let me go on record and say this if I haven't already. I don't think Teen Titans Go holds a candle to that. So even though I do like Teen Titans Go, I don't think it holds a candle to the original. But the original, Here's the thing that was always so striking to me about the original that I think they actually pulled off really well is the original, and I think this turned some people off, it, from episode to episode, the tone was so different. Like, you'd get some episodes that, like, dealt with Slade and Trigon that were incredibly dark as anything that happened in the DCAU, actually. And then you'd also get episodes like the Mumbo Jumbo episode or the Mad Mod episode that are just completely silly and goofy and hilarious. But, and so I think that they found this perfect balance where they were able to pull off both types of episodes.
But overall, I feel that that show was able to maneuver itself to be enjoyed by kids and older fans, for the most part. Like, you're kind of,
I totally agree.
Like, you're kind of saying, with me, like put it this way, my nieces and nephews who are in the age range of Teen Titans Go when it's on aren't even paying attention to it. So if they can't sit through it, you're gonna ask by the time this comes out, when does this come out?
July 27th.
Okay, so the day after, I'll be 35. You're gonna ask a 35-year-old man to sit through this and find some enjoyment? No, I can't do it.
I know a lot of adult fans
and most of them have kids, like Justin Kowalski and those and that type. And that's cool. If you have kids, I get it. I get why you would enjoy this. I have my nephews and nieces, which are great because I can watch stuff with them and I can you know, play video games with them and all that stuff, and that's great. But I'll turn on and it's through no prodding of my own. I'll turn on Batman the Animated Series, they'll sit there. I'll turn on Young Justice, they'll sit there. Just like, even if I just want to watch it, they'll sit there and watch it. And they'll be engaged with what they're seeing. With Teen Titans Go, the few times that I would watch them and I put it on for them, they can't even, they're like, change this.
Hold up, Adam. Wasn't your argument for Lego DC Super Heroes The Flash that it would appeal to younger fans that wouldn't want to watch Batman the Animated Series?
I'm happy that this exists for younger fans. I'm not saying that I'm not. I'm just saying there isn't enough in it for me of, let's say, just what I've watched of the original show and what I've seen in the trailers to maybe say, in spite of the fact that it's for kids, I can find something that I can latch onto and enjoy. I can't. That's the difference. With the Lego movies, I can find something to latch onto, whether it's their version of the comic book storylines, like who was our guest on the I'm blanking. Who was our guest on the Lego Flash episode?
Oh, Brandon Alvarado.
Right. You know, he latched onto the same thing where their adaptation and their, you know, of certain comics and certain moments in comics. You know, if there are things that I can personally latch onto and find that I'll enjoy, then I can watch something that's more geared for kids. This, like I said, I've tried to watch the show. I can't sit through it. I just can't get into it.
My recommendation to you, watch the episode Mo Money, Mo Problems.
The only episode I watched, because a friend sent me the link and I watched it on YouTube, was the episode where they see the other incarnation of the Titans.
Okay.
On TV or whatever.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. With Control Freaks in that episode, I think.
I think probably. That's the only one I've seen.
Check out Mo Money, Mo Problems, because that's the one that has a ton of nods to all the live-action Batman movies. So I think you might actually enjoy that episode. I think I brought that up before on the podcast. I think actually when we had Justin on.
I think I brought that one up.
You're right. So I would recommend that episode. There's another episode. I'm not sure if you would enjoy this one, but there's an episode where they dub over. Actually, I think they've done this twice now where they've dubbed over episodes of the original animated series. Mm-hmm. So they've basically taken the animation of the original series and dubbed it over with lines that would be in Teen Titans Go. Yeah. So they've done, I think, two episodes like that.
And that's the other thing about it, too. It's not just the content that doesn't spark my interest. It's the animation. I think the animation, it looks terrible. It's ugly. So to me, if the story is not there, had it, if it at least had, in my eyes, decent animation, maybe I'd force myself to sit through it. It doesn't. It looks terrible to me.
Well, I like the animation. It's supposed to be sort of cute and cartoony, because that's what, I mean, yeah. It's...
And I just don't, and I just, to me, it just doesn't grab me. So again, if I'm not going to watch the TV show for free, I'm not going to pay 12 to 15 bucks, whatever it is, to watch an hour and a half or 2 hours of the same schlock.
How about a matinee?
There would have to be... My TV would have to be broken. There'd have to be no music available. my Xbox One would have to be stolen. My internet would have to be out. That would have to be the only piece of entertainment playing. And I had nothing else to do. Then maybe. But of my own free volition, there ain't no way I'm going to watch this movie.
Okay. Well... We're clearly on very different pages here, but I really enjoyed this trailer, so I will be there on July 27th, or probably the 26th, actually.
And it's also the day before my birthday. I don't want to ruin my birthday experience having come home from watching that garbage.
Oh, my goodness. So,
yeah, not going to happen.
Well, happy early birthday. If this were coming out on my birthday, I'd view it as a birthday present, but...
Warner Brothers, make it up to me and announce a Superman sequel on July 28th. How about that? And we'll call it even. All right, can we get off this ridiculous trailer and talk about some good news?
Yeah, we can. We've got a few pieces of news coming up right now that are all related to one another. The first thing is that we finally have a name for the DC Digital Service.
Oh, good.
It's going to be titled DC Universe. And I'll be honest, this is the only thing about this streaming service that I'm not a fan of, is this name. I think this name is, quite frankly, I think this name is awful. And it's not a huge deal, because as long as the content's great, which it looks like it's going to be, I'm not going to care that much what the name is. But seriously, I'm not happy about this name. And I've brought up things like this before on the show, which is, a name that's this generic frustrates the hell out of me. And the reason for that is, if someone is trying to refer to the streaming service and they say DC Universe, or if you try to type DC Universe into Google, nobody's going to know what you're talking about, whether you're talking about the actual DC Universe or whether you're talking about their streaming service. It's the same reason why I think, and you know how much I love the animated series The Batman, but it's the same reason why I think the title The Batman is horrible, because for my entire life, ever since that series premiered in 2004, every time I try to talk about that series to anybody, people are like, The Batman what? And I'm like, The Batman animated series. They're like, Batman the animated series? I'm like, no, The Batman. The animated series, The Batman. And it's so frustrating. It's the same reason why I didn't want Matt Reeves to call his movie The Batman. I really hope he does not do that. And it's the same deal with this streaming service. The fact that it's called just DC Universe. I will say the logo looks cool. The logo looks cool. But the fact that they're just calling it DC Universe, I think it's a bad idea.
Here's what I'll say. I'm okay with the name. Here's why. Because I think the streaming service is going to be, I think Mario's covered it on Revenge of the Fans. This streaming service is going to be more than just like a Netflix. I think it's going to have, because, you know, in his articles, he said DC is going to use this to disseminate news, various news from, you know, movie news and all the different types of TV news, all that kind of stuff. I think more, you know, if it's going to have a Netflix component, I'm pretty sure, where they have all forms of DC entertainment avenues, whether it be animation. You'll probably get older seasons of the current television shows on the CW on there, various, you know, like the older animated series, and I'm hoping, nothing's been confirmed about this, but I'm hoping there's a digital comics component as well, kind of like how Marvel has on Comixology, the Marvel Unlimited thing. I'm hoping they do something like that. So if the
service, you very well might be right about all that, Adam, and that would be awesome.
And
but
so hold on
still...
a second though. So if the service is all encompassing of DC content beyond just these new shows, so if it's covering everything, then it makes perfect sense to call it DC Universe because it has everything that comprises the DC Universe.
I understand that it has everything, but it's still not the literal DC Universe. But DC Universe is the world in which these exist. This is not that. This is a streaming service or a platform on which to consume content about the DC Universe, but it's not the literal...
First of all, the literal DC Universe is the comic universe. So if this streaming service has digital comic books, then it amongst live-action TV, animation, et cetera, then I think they're well within, it's a very straightforward, to the point name for the service. And you got to remember, from what this is going to be geared to, mostly DC fans. So if you're catering to your fans, they are already familiar with everything that encompasses the DC universe. So you're not going to confuse your already existing fan base. Like, they're not going to have to punch anything into Google because they're going to buy it as soon as it's available.
Yeah, I think that it creates confusion. I mean, you've got people call the...
But who is it creating confusion for? If it's geared to pre-existing DC fans. Well,
even people who are fans, like, I've talked to fans about the animated series The Batman, and it still creates confusion when I say The Batman.
But maybe that's because they didn't watch The Batman.
Well, even ones who did.
But it's still confusing. Hold on a second. If they don't love the show as much as... probably it's because they didn't love the show as much as you did. So calling it The Batman is the only... Like, if you bring it up in the sentence and you're saying The Batman this, The Batman that, if somebody didn't watch it, but what I'm saying is, if you're talking to a standard DC fan and you say DC Universe, to them that's going to encompass movies, TV. Like, I don't think comic fans, hardcore DC fans, sit there and say, DCAU this, DCAU that. They'll just say this movie, and you know what it's from. Whereas if you're talking to average Joe Blow off the street, if you say DC Universe, they're going to think, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, the whole shebang. And it's not going to, if once they get on board, it's not going to, I don't think average moviegoers go and say, okay, well, this is a DCEU movie. Like, to average Joe Blows, when they see the Marvel logo on the screen, they don't care whether it's Fox Marvel, Disney Marvel, Sony Marvel. To them, it's just more like, even general audience fans don't get caught up in all this hoopla. They just see, okay, Batman is DC, Wonder Woman's DC. So if they are persuaded to jump on board, which I still think it's geared to predominantly fans who know all this stuff anyway, they're just going to see it as it's DC content. They're not going to care that it doesn't have a differentiation that it's a streaming service or not, especially if they eventually put the likes of Arrow, Flash, Legends, etc., etc., etc.
I mean,
you're one of the only few that gets bent out of shape over this name. I'm telling you that. I can guarantee you that, because hardcore comic fans are just gonna say, "When is it out? Let me give you
It's not a huge deal to me. It's not a huge deal to me. Again, the most important thing is whether it's awesome, which I'm expecting it to be. But if it's awesome, it's not gonna be that big a deal with the name.
You're foreseeing brand confusion, and I don't think there will be brand confusion.
But I think it's going to be not exactly brand confusion, but I think, like, if we're having a conversation and I say I love the DC Universe, do I mean the DC Universe is in the universe, or do I mean the streaming service? Or if I say,
but if you're having a conversation, it's natural for another human being to say, okay, what part of it do you love? Like, that's a natural
conversation. If I say what's your favorite thing about the DC universe, am I referring to the universe, or am I referring to what's your favorite thing about the streaming service?
But somebody who doesn't know about the streaming service will ask you, like, let's say if you're talking to average Joe Blow, right? And you can say, well, it's this show on the streaming service. And then they can say, oh, there's a streaming service. And then as a fan, now it's created a conversation for people that don't know to check out the streaming service. Whereas fans who already know won't care because they'll already have paid their money.
I mean, and there's other stuff. There's the DC Universe Online video game that has the name DC Universe in it. There's the DCEU, as we brought up. There's the DC Universe. They're putting that in the tag on the comics now. It says DC Universe. Right. So it's like all this stuff.
So what I think that's driving through to is an all-encompassing entity that is gonna deal with everything. So it won't matter. It won't be like, well, Marvel Television, there's Netflix Marvel, and you have to distinguish. What I think DC is trying to do is to encompass everything into one brand, which will be the DC Universe. That's what
I think it's confusing, but I think it's confusing. I think it's going to be confusing. But we have some news that I think is awesome regarding this streaming service.
Sure.
Again, I'm not going to call it. If I say we have news regarding this is a perfect example.
Hold on a second. Here's your solution. The DC Universe streaming service. Now, I don't expect DC to call it that because who wants to have a stupid nickname like the DCSU, like DCEU, which is what they're trying to get away from, but fans won't let it die. So we keep hearing DCEU pop up. So I understand why DC doesn't want to come out with an acronym, DCSU.
Right now I have to call it the DC streaming, the DC Universe streaming service.
That's fine. On this show, you can call it that.
If I say we have news about the DC Universe, that could be anything in the DC Universe.
You're getting hung up on this point. Usually when we disseminate news, we'll tell you if it's film, television, streaming service. So fans of this podcast, when you're talking about it, won't get confused. So again, you're making a big stink out of nothing. It's the DC Universe streaming service. So on this show, folks, when we refer to it, we'll call it the DC Universe streaming service. So for Jordan's sanity, get that through your heads so there won't be any confusion. Now continue.
Okay. Well, like I said, that's the only thing I have a complaint about this, because the rest of this news seems pretty awesome to me. The first thing is that a Swamp Thing TV show is being developed by Smallville alum Mark Verheiden. I think that's how you pronounce his name.
I think it's Mark Verheiden, but I could be wrong.
Mark Verheiden.
It's better than what you call them, but it's Mark. Either it's Mark.
Mark. Verheiden, I call him Mark Verheiden.
Yeah, I think that's wrong.
That's wrong. Okay.
But I don't know. I don't know him personally, but. If he wants to come on the show and clarify, he's more than welcome to.
If he wants to come on the show and clarify, I'd probably pass out.
Yeah, well. Oh, good. Then we can have a normal conversation without you interjecting Smallville references, even though we'll probably be talking about them anyway.
Yeah, then I'd be missing out on Smallville talk, and
it sucks to be you. Lamaze breathing.
He's going to be executive producing along with Gary Dauberman, James Wan, and Michael Clear. And Rob Hackett is also going to be co-producing. And here's the description. Mm-hmm. When CDC researcher Abby Arcane returns to her childhood home of Houma, Louisiana? Is that how you pronounce that?
I think so.
Houma, Louisiana. I got that one right.
Is that right? Message us and tell us if that's right.
Houma.
It's your town. Be proud of it. Tell us what the hell, how we're supposed to call it. Come on.
Is it a real town?
I have no idea. Two questions for people from Louisiana. Is that a real town, and how the hell do you pronounce it? Answer.
Okay. Well, anyway, maybe I've got to be right about one of these. So if I wasn't right about Mark's last name, maybe I'll be right about this.
Even if not, but they should be proud in their fictional towns as well as their real towns. Just want to throw that out there.
When she returns to that place, in order to investigate a deadly swamp-borne virus, she develops a surprising bond with scientist Alec Holland. You want to know a secret? You want to hear? He's Swamp Thing.
I know. It's spoilers, folks.
Only to have him tragically taken from her. But as powerful forces descend on Houma, intent on exploiting the swamp's mysterious properties for their own purposes, Abby will discover that the swamp holds mystical secrets, both horrifying and wondrous, and the potential love of her life may not be dead after all.
Yeah, I mean that's a very apt description of the Swamp Thing. The core essential elements of the Swamp Thing origin. So I think they're on the right track there. What I will say about the creative team is, you know, Mark Verdin obviously has experience adapting DC material with Smallville angle. But there's also the other guy, the other main guy you mentioned, not James Wan, the other one.
There's a few other guys I mentioned.
Well, the main second guy.
Gary Dauberman?
Yeah, he did some work on, I believe, Battlestar Galactica, the relaunch, which was fantastic. So that's very intriguing. And then, of course, you know, James Wan being involved in Swamp Thing is just genius because of his horror background. And, you know, for DC to entrust him with this property, to shepherd this property,
me think they might be very impressed with what he's doing with Aquaman.
Yeah, indeed. I agree with you there. And, you know, I think this is one of the characters, because look, they're having a devil of a time getting Justice League Dark off the ground. I think this is one of the characters that is perfectly suited for something like this DC Universe streaming service. Because who knows if we're ever going to get this Justice League Dark. I think that's one of the projects that could fall by the wayside. But having him on the streaming service, it makes a lot of sense. And the other thing, you know, some people jump to the conclusion of, oh, but what about, you know, that could be visual effects heavy. How are they going to pull that off on the streaming service? Anybody concerned about the quality of a streaming service show needs to look no further than Star Trek Discovery. And I know you don't watch Jordan because you're not into Star Trek, but I will say this as a fan of that and as someone who watches that show or who watched that show, the visual effects were fantastic. Pretty much almost film level quality. So I'm not concerned about a character that is potentially visual effects heavy like Swamp Thing on a streaming service. I'm not at all. To me, the most important thing is the creatives, and do the creatives understand the character? And it seems like they do. So I'm beyond it. Look, I'll say it again. I said it before, and I'll say it again. This streaming service had my money from the word go. I'm just waiting for, when can I pay you? That's
well, getting a title is one step closer, I feel,
but,
like.
Yeah, but the addition to Swamp Thing, of Swamp Thing to the roster, it just puts me over the edge, because I started Swamp Thing when the New 52 started. One of the great things about the New 52 was the relaunch of Swamp Thing.
And Scott Snyder was doing it then, right?
Yeah, and you may not like his the whatever he did with Metal, but I will say that his Swamp Thing run was phenomenal.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not a Snyder hater at all.
You'd actually like it because there's some romance, and you can come up with some of that shipping crap that you like to do. So,
you know, that was one thing that appealed to me about the description of this show, is that it looks like there's going to be a strong romantic element to it, which is, it's something that appeals to me. So
yeah, so there you go. But it was in the book as well. Nice. It was in the book as well. I mean, obviously there was the horror aspect of it, but there was also some that between Swamp Thing and Abigail, which was kind of like a sort of dark, twisted Romeo and Juliet kind of thing.
That sounds really interesting.
If they ever do a sale on Comixology, which they probably will as this thing gets going, I suggest picking up Scott Snyder's the first volume digitally. It's really good.
Thank you for the recommendation.
So I'm on board with the Swamp Thing show. They released some of the other logos, the Titans, Young Justice Invasion, which we've seen. The
Outsiders.
I keep thinking Invasion. That was the last season.
Season 2 was Invasion. Yeah,
yeah. Thank you. Outsiders.
And Invasion, also the name of the comic book series and of the first big Arrowverse crossover.
Yeah, so there's a lot of Invasion happening. and there's an Invasion of Privacy, if you, depending on what your thoughts on our Facebook are. But but aside from that, the So we've seen that logo, and then they also released the Harley Quinn animated series logo. I like all the logos. I find the Titans one is interesting because it's essentially Nightwing's color and font, which is hilarious because I think that's what will tell you where it's headed.
I didn't think about that, but I hope you're right about that, that it's not too long, because you've heard me talk about how I want that transition to happen pretty quickly.
I think it's foreshadowing where the series is going to go and who the leader of the team is going to be. I like the Harley Quinn logo. It looks very Harley Quinn-ish, if that's even a thing. I want to know who's voicing Harley and if Margot Robbie is still on board to do that, or who else is voicing her. If not, and then the Swamp Thing logo is really cool. I really like that logo. That's a great logo.
Yeah, I agree. All the logos looked cool to me. I mean, the Young Justice one, that's sort of exactly what we would have expected it to be. I think we'd already actually seen that. The full workup for it, but I think we'd seen an initial version of that. But yeah, all the logos looked really cool to me too.
I'm excited. Those four shows to kick it off, like, let's go again. When can I give them my money? Like, it's at the point where it's just like, just like, if I could here's another Star Trek note. If I could put my wallet in a transporter and send it to DC right now and say, here's my money for the streaming service, it would be done already. So just get on with it. Give us a date and let's go.
Put it in a boom tube and send it.
Right.
There you go. There's a DC version of that.
There you go. See,
I don't know if that's equivalent because I'm not a Star Trek fan.
Well, we covered multiple fandoms, so we're good.
Is that equivalent, pretty much?
The idea is kind of there, yeah.
Okay. Well, there we go. Did you have something else you wanted to say before?
Okay,
I'm really excited about the Swamp Thing series. The thing that excites me most is Mark... Can you pronounce the name for me so I don't have to pronounce it again and get it wrong?
Verdine,
thank you. Mark Verdine, I'm very excited about his involvement. He wrote 11 episodes of Smallville, and one of those is in my top 10, which is Heat.
That's a great episode. Yeah.
I love that episode.
I'm thinking of what's the teacher's name?
Desiree Atkins.
Damn, she was hot. you just derailed the whole podcast. I'm done. So long. See you later, everybody. Goodbye.
Well, anyway, he wrote that episode, and he also wrote 10 other episodes, which all of which are amazing, in my opinion. So I'm so excited about his involvement. I think it's really cool, like I said, that James Wan's involved for the reason that I stated earlier. I'm not familiar, at least I don't think I'm familiar, with the other people involved in this, but I'm confident in what they'll bring to it. The description sounds really cool to me. And I think this could... Oh, the other thing I was going to say about this is... It sort of fills the horror, it fills the horror gap that's been lacking ever since Constantine got canceled.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously, we're going to be getting a lot of Constantine soon because it's going to be a regular on Legends. But in terms of having a horror show, I mean, I know we have iZombie, but I don't consider that really a DC show. It's the Vertigo show.
Yeah.
And yes, Swamp Thing was originally a Vertigo property, but he's since been sort of incorporated in the main DC universe.
Yeah, he's been infused into the DCU.
So I consider this I really do consider this a DC show. So it's cool that this will sort of be.
Well, it does say DC Swamp Thing. Right? It has a DC logo on it. So.
Well, they all do. The shows do. Yeah. And that's something I've noticed. DC's been starting to do that with both their movies and TV shows. I mean, Justice League was the first one to do it. They have DC above the Justice League logo. Shazam logo, that has the same thing. Yeah, and now it looks like DC shows.
And if you look at the CW shows, if you wait long enough after the credits, you'll see that same logo. So again, there's no differentiation of the logo.
Right? Well, no, I mean the CW shows. That's a little bit different. They don't have it as part of the logo.
Watch through the end credits, it's there.
Oh well, I know the logo is there. Yeah, but I'm saying in terms of them having it incorporated into the show's logo, above the show's logo,
the CW shows
don't have that. These new shows on the streaming service do have that though, and Krypton has it too. So it seems like all the new shows are starting to have that, which is really cool. I think it looks cool.
It's yeah. Hey, listen, promote the brand, put it out there. Like, don't hide it. It is, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, you know, just get it out there.
I agree. I guess moving on to our next piece of news. It's our last piece of news about the DC Universe streaming service. But it's our penultimate piece of news, period, for this episode. But what we've got is that obviously there was a glaring omission from the logos that got released, and that would be Metropolis. And there is a reason for that. Apparently, Metropolis is being redeveloped, and that's really all we know right now. But it's led to a lot of speculation, including on my part. Listen, I was totally on board with the original premise. Lois and Lex. Yeah. I thought that would be really cool. But, and I still think, I mean, that still might be the case. But if they do redevelop it, this does open up the possibility. And I know a lot of people, when this show first got announced, I know there was a lot of backlash, people saying that they would have preferred a full-on Superman show. And even though I mean, I'm with them. I think that would have been better, even though I was still on board with what it was going to be. But I think maybe there's a chance that DC sort of listened to those complaints and said, hey, why don't we make a full-on Superman show? And maybe they'll make that. And perhaps maybe it'll even star Tyler Hoechlin. So I think that there's a potential for them to redevelop into something like that, which I think would even be better than their original premise. Who knows what they're going to do? Who knows what they're going to redevelop it into? That's a possibility. I think that would be a really cool possibility. But this show is being redeveloped, so it looks like it's going to be a little bit longer before we see it. Normally that would bother me, but with how many DC shows we have right now, it's not like I don't have stuff to tide myself over until Metropolis comes out. I'm still really excited about it. Whatever this turns out being, I'm really excited to see what they do with it. And, hopefully they redevelop it into something really cool.
I mean, look, I was on board with the original concept as well. But at the end of the day, if you're going to redevelop it, if you're going to take the extra time, consider putting Superman in, because look, at the end of the day, you know, I mean, we've talked about it. I love Krypton, right?
Yes.
But aside,
and I will say, I need to say this. I wasn't as high on the pilot as you were.
Yeah.
And I liked the pilot. I just didn't quite love it. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and say it. The last few episodes of Krypton, I can officially say I've loved. I just want to get that out there.
Okay, cool. But yeah, they have been great. But, you know, the first episode, you know, did very solid ratings for sci-fi. Every episode has quite frankly, unfortunately, been bleeding viewers. Now, the live plus, so the delayed viewings, bring in a crap ton of viewers to the show. But its actual live viewing numbers have been declining week to week to week.
Most shows decline.
Right, but not to Krypton's declining by large amount. I've been keeping track. It's not good. But maybe as the people at DC and Warner's are watching that, they're saying, okay, well, maybe another show about Superman's world without Superman isn't the way to go. Let's push the brakes and see if we can't work Superman into this show. And look, I will be happily surprised. I hope I'm wrong. But my gut tells me, as good as it is, as great as it is, Krypton won't be renewed by sci-fi. I don't think, personally. Again, hope to God I'm wrong. I'd be happily shocked if I am. I just don't see it. So if Krypton is going to survive, if I'm right, and Krypton doesn't get picked up by sci-fi, could the streaming service potentially pick it up? That to me will probably be the only way it gets a second season. Again, hope I'm wrong, because I love the show. The numbers just aren't there, and with the budget that it requires on network television, I just don't think sci-fi is going to pony up. So we may be looking at, if Krypton comes back, it may be on the streaming service. So, but
maybe, I mean, I'm fine as long as he gets the second season. I don't really care where it is.
But maybe that. But what I'm saying is that could have led to their whoa, let's push the brakes and see if we can't. Again, this is speculation on our part, but I think that could have been a part of it.
Sure. So, I really hope he gets renewed also. So,
but whatever we get, I'm. My thing is, the good sign here is that they've pushed the brakes, and they're taking their time to get it right, as opposed to let's push it out so we can get our bonuses. I mean, that's not what's happening here, but we saw how that worked out.
I totally echo that sentiment. If they need more time to make the show as great as it can be, by all means. I mean, again, I'm really excited about the show, so I'd love for it to be here yesterday, but I want them to take as much time as they need to make it as great as it should be and can be. So, agreed.
Agreed.
Are we ready to move on DCU streaming service news?
Yeah, let's get going.
Well, we've got some more DC TV news, not related to the streaming service, which is that Paul Blackthorne will unfortunately be leaving Arrow as a series regular after this season, so after season 6. So he will not be returning to season 7, in season 7, I should say. I sort of foresaw this a little bit. I feel like the writing's been on the wall for his character for a while. I've had a bad feeling that he might get killed off the show. The most recent episode of Arrow, There was something that happens in this episode that makes me believe that Diaz is likely going to kill Lance in retaliation for something that Black Siren did. And I think that that's what's very likely going to happen.
And I think you're 100% right there. I'll say I'm sad to see him go. He's one of the characters I like on the show. You know, I really like on the show. But I think the story is going to dictate his demise. But, you know, they've been sort of struggling with what exactly do we do with him the last few seasons. So the writing was on the wall. It's just unfortunate because I really like his character.
He's great. He's so great.
If we're going to kill off people, there's other people to kill off. Everybody knows where I stand on that, so I'm not going to rehash it.
I do think it makes sense for the story, though, Adam, that it would be him because of what
in the direction
Black Siren. But here's the thing. I mean, obviously, I love his character, so I'm sad to see him go. The one thing that sort of is, in addition to that, just the fact that I love his character, that's a bummer, is that now, after he leaves, there will only be two series regulars left that were series regulars in season one, and that's Stephen Amell and David Ramsey. Nobody else on the show after he leaves is left that was a series regular in season one. So it's sort of further, I mean, this happens as you move forward on the show, but it's sort of further distancing itself from where it started. And so it's sort of those characters that you fell in love with when the show started. It's, I mean, obviously we lost Thea this season and now Quinn's another one. So it's like we went from four characters. Well, I will say, I guess it's really three characters that were on the show in season one, because we do still have Katie Cassidy, but she's playing a different character than she played back then, so that's why I wasn't really counting her. But others, if we're not counting Katie Cassidy, then now only two series regulars left from season one, and we started this season with four because we still had Thea and Quentin. So it's sort of a bummer to see him go from that perspective too. But I mean, I the one thing I will say I am really excited about is I think it'll be really emotional if he does get killed by Diaz. I think that's going to be what's going to lead Laurel to get redeemed. I think that's what's going to happen, is that she's basically, Diaz is going to kill Lance, and then that's going to sort of basically Lance's death is going to sort of inspire her to fully embrace trying to be a hero.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I can see that happening.
I agree. That's where I think it's going to go. You're right. Yeah.
Oh. Well, we are on the same pages on that, apparently. Cool. Well, farewell, Paul Blackthorne. We will miss you.
Well, he's still got a couple episodes left.
Yeah, he does. That's true. Well, we don't actually know how many episodes before.
Well, I'm sure if he dies, it'll be the finale.
You think?
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
Well, I don't know. When Earth 1 Laurel died in Season 4, it was several episodes before the finale. So perhaps they could do it in the penultimate.
Yeah, but how many are left? Two?
Two, yeah. So it could be the penultimate one.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess we'll have to see. But anyway, not much time left with him, but I will cherish however much longer we have with that character because he's awesome.
Yeah, I agree.
All righty. Well, I guess now we can move into our movie review.
Let's do it.
All righty. Well, we are going to be reviewing the latest DC animated film. It is not in the DCU AOM line. But, that's why I'm not calling it a DC. Again, I am very specific about this stuff. So it is not a DCU AOM film. It is just a DC animated film. But that it would be Batman Ninja. And I will go ahead and read the synopsis. Are we thinking one sentence or two sentences?
One and a half.
You do realize if you say one and a half, that doesn't mean you're right either way. That means you're wrong either way.
Okay, why not? Is it one and a half?
No, there's no such thing as one and a half. Unless there's a sentence fragment, but there's not.
Well, it's IMDb and their user submitted, so it's very possible.
Okay. No, it's just one sentence, Adam.
You
but
know, people on the internet don't always have the best grammar, my friend.
You know, that is a good point. Batman, along with a number of his allies and adversaries, finds himself transplanted from modern Gotham City to feudal Japan. Directed by... Oh, boy. I'm going to have trouble with these
names. Just skip it. You're not going to get it.
Directed by Junpei Misusaki and... Written, the Japanese screenplay is written by Kazuki Nakashima, and then the English screenplay is written by Leo Chu and Eric Garcia. Actually, I think I might have done okay with those names.
Well, the English names for sure, yeah. I mean, how can you screw up Chu? It's a common word.
Yes.
All right, cool. You got some name right.
Yeah. There we go. I guess I'll just go ahead and kick us off. I really like this movie. I think that, first of all, visually, it is stunning. It just looks incredibly visually. It looks incredible visually. I mean, there's the main animation side of the movie, which is amazing. But then there's also a couple times in the movie where you switch to a different animation style for select scenes, one of which... has got to be one of the most haunting Joker and Harley scenes I have ever seen. I love... there's some great Batcat stuff in this movie that I really loved. I really love sort of... Selina's the one to sort of help Batman acclimate to being in Japan, because the way it starts the movie, the rest of the Batman characters have been there 2 years before Batman gets there, because he's delayed on his transport into Japan. So anyway, so there's some great stuff between Bruce and Selina in this movie, and my one big complaint about this movie is that the story gets a little too weird towards the end. There's some stuff in this movie that just got a little too weird for me, but overall I really enjoyed it. The voice cast, the two standouts for me were Gray Griffin reprising a role from the Arkham games and the Injustice games as Catwoman. She is amazing. And Tom Kenny reprising his role once again as the Penguin from the animated series The Batman. So that's just sort of some general thoughts that I wanted to get out there. Let me get your response to that, and I give your general thoughts too, and then we can sort of get into it.
All right. I liked half of this movie.
Okay.
I liked half of it a lot.
Which half would that be? Are we past the spoiler wall, or are we
going to... Yeah, let's just go right in. Screw the spoilers. Spoilers! Okay. There, we're past it. I was 100% on board and ready to and prepared to eat crow about my initial thoughts of this movie.
Uh-huh.
Right up, the last moment that I was on board of this movie, I think it literally is the halfway point when Batman and the Bat family and are on the boat, and the Joker's there too, and the boat explodes.
Yeah.
Once we pass the explosion, is where Adam checks out.
Okay, that's interesting you say that. For me, it was a little bit different. The part that I was referring to where it got too weird for me was the giant monkey and the big robot thing fighting.
That's a lot of my issue, but you spoke about the animation.
Yeah.
Again, all of the main animation, I was on board with. I love the way Batman looked. The Batmobile, which, yes, it's there. And all his toys, the Batwing. And,
yes, and that was so cool. I got to bring that up because you brought it up. Did you think that was a nod to the Tumbler? How, in the Dark Knight trilogy, the Batpod could...
Yeah, for sure.
Was that so cool, though, dude?
No, when he's got the Tumbler...
Yeah. When he's got not the Tumbler in this movie, but the Bat, because we got to talk about that. That was one of the coolest scenes. He's got the Batmobile, and then from it, the Batwing pops out of the freaking Batmobile, and then the Batpod finally, and he's racing on that part of the Joker's tower or whatever.
Yeah.
Was that amazing or what?
No, that was great. And all the animation, like all the main animation, was great. Batman looked phenomenal. Catwoman looked great, even though it had that. I guess it's Japanese, right? Am I getting the right?
Well, they're in Japan, so no, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So even though she had like that Japanese sort of anime manga like look to her design, she still looked like traditional Catwoman.
I got to bring something up. Do you know the cat puppet she had?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the Mel Gibson movie, The Beaver?
No.
That is all I could think. It's one of the weirdest movies I've ever seen.
It's called The Beaver.
I can't exactly say I recommend it. Yeah. The only reason I recommend it is because of how weird it is, if that makes sense.
I would say watch it,
and you'll just be like, what in the world is this?
Right. But so it's kind of like what happened to me with this movie at the Havoc one.
okay, all right, fair enough. But all I could think about, and anybody who's seen The Beaver and watched Batman Ninja, I'm very curious to know if you're with me on this. All I could think about when Catwoman had that hand puppet was the movie The Beaver.
Yeah. So Batman looks great. It kind of reminds me of Arkham Batman.
The main suit or the Japanese suit? The main suit, right?
Yeah. Again, this is all before shit hit the fan, and I checked out. So he looked like Arkham Batman, which I love. Catwoman, as I said, looked very, very, you know, what you'd expect of Catwoman to look.
Her costume was really awesome.
Yeah, it was kind of like... Yeah. It was kind of like a mix between Batman Returns meets the Arkham games. It was cool.
I could see that. Yeah.
The Joker looked frightening.
It had
a bit of the sharpness of the way they drew him, and especially his nose and stuff. It was very reminiscent of like Jim Lee kind of design.
Yes. Like that iconic image from Hush that Jim Lee drew.
Yeah.
Of Joker with the gun, that's what it reminded me of.
Yeah, exactly. So I love that.
What did you think regarding the Joker? What did you think of Tony Hale's voice performance?
That was one of my problems.
I'll get to that in a second.
I have specific reasonings for not liking it. But I like the look of the Joker.
And that scene, Adam, where the Joker, when Batman first confronts him and the Joker like sneaks up behind him.
There were moments where I thought it worked and then moments where I didn't. But that particular scene, yes. You know, even Harley with her sort of, it kind of has a, not a medieval, a steampunk kind of look to it.
Yeah. Hey, your favorite voice actress voicing Harley?
Tara Strong, right?
Yeah.
That's my girl. My non-live action fictional Harley wife would be Tara Strong.
Did you see her,
but there are ways around that.
Did you see our buddy Peter Vera got to meet both her and Gray Griffin at
lucky bastard.
At the Batman Ninja premiere? I know, I was so jealous. I was like, dude, you got to meet Catwoman and Harley. But for me, especially Catwoman, that was like, oh my
goodness.
I hope
he doesn't take offense to this, but I'm just going to Photoshop him out of the picture and just put myself there. because screw it. It's the internet. But so yeah, like I don't know if you noticed, it had kind of like a steampunk vibe to it.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see
and
that.
And I dug that. It also looks like the way Harley looked in, crap, what is the book? I just read Batman, Dark Prince Charming.
Okay.
She looks very much similar. Also, there's for you, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but there's Batman and Catwoman stuff in that book that you.
I haven't read the book, but I've seen some of the Batcat scenes from that book.
And she's gonna be she's gonna be very prevalent in part two, at least.
All right, I'm gonna need to read Dark Prince Charming. I think think.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of Batcat that I can expect.
Well, in the first volume, it's hinted at or it's touched upon, but I think according to the artist, she's gonna have a more prominent role in part two.
Oh, are they gonna collect it as one? Eventually,
I have no idea.
Okay, nobody well, I gotta DC. Read those. I saw one Batcat scene. I saw.
Nobody
I gotta give
from,
a shout
nobody
out
from
to,
DC like tells me these things. I have no idea.
Well, I was just curious if you had heard some news about that.
Although I will say this, I reviewed Volume One on Revenge of the Fast.
Well, okay. Well, you read news and stuff
shameless,
just like I do. I was curious if you had seen some news.
Shameless plug for myself and Mario.
Well, I was just curious. I was just curious if you'd seen some news that I hadn't seen.
Established that I like Yankee or James. Just go.
Okay. Well, I will say, I want to give a shout out to the Twitter account at the best of Batcat, which is like my favorite Twitter account. They post so much amazing Batcat content, but they posted a scene from the Dark Prince Charming book one that I saw that it was a Batcat scene and it was amazing. And so I do think I really need to pick up. Yeah. It's a scene with like Bruce and Selina, and then Alfred is there too.
Yeah,
and
that's one scene, but there's also a scene where. Like a fight scene where they're present and they're all doing their thing.
Oh goody! Okay, yeah. I gotta read that.
Yeah,
gotta read
so
that.
You should have got this at Free Comic Book Day. Help your comic shop out. You bought something more substantial than 75 cents. I want to go to your comic shop just to buy something to offset your lack of buying.
I'm really broke right now because with this and this is something I was gonna say about Batman Ninja. This might be the first time ever when we've gotten two new DC movies in subsequent weeks.
Yeah.
Because we got Batman
like
Ninja.
3 weeks apart. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And then, well, no, just 1 week.
No.
Batman Ninja.
Oh,
and
you're talking
DC
you're
superhero
about, yeah,
girls.
Yeah, I'm talking
Super
about,
Villain High.
Yeah, I was talking about. I'm sorry, I was talking about. Hell to Pay, Suicide Squad.
Oh well, that was really close too. But no, this was This was 1 week apart.
Yeah,
Batman Ninja.
Yeah, that's insane.
I think 3 weeks apart has happened before.
Yeah,
3 weeks
apart. That's more realistic.
But no, this was 1 week apart. So now I'm really broke right now because of that. So
yeah, her Harley costume, the costume reminded me of that book. I even like the look of like the other characters, Penguin.
Penguin was one that reminded me a little bit of his Arkham version.
Yes, and even I thought it was cool. Deathstroke in the samurai gear.
Oh yeah, Deathstroke was cool. Poison Ivy looked pretty. What?
And even Two-Face had some samurai gear going on.
Yeah. Poison Ivy looked pretty much just like Poison Ivy normally does.
Yeah,
cool.
I mean, what can you do to that costume aside from just painting her green and having her naked, which I'm not opposed to.
And Grodd just looked pretty much like himself.
Yeah.
I mean, he is always naked.
Yeah. And I could take that or leave that. put some pants on him, goddamn. But
the only character design that I could not stand was Red Hood.
But I will say, hold on a second. I will say something. I want to say something about Poison Ivy.
Okay.
The one nitpick I had was, listen, in every friggin' comic book I've ever read and every movie animated or that Batman and Robin that she was in, one of the only good things about that movie, her hair has been red. For some godforsaken reason, it's pink here.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I don't understand that. It looked like somebody spilled Pepto Bismol on her hair when she was sleeping, as sort of like some frat joke. I don't understand.
I didn't mind that. I didn't even really.
It bugged me a little bit. I guess.
Can we talk about Red Hood's stupid
hood? But his first design, which he wasn't in that hood, right? His initial design, he looked all right. But when they
no, I think he was always in the hood.
No, I think there was a scene where he wasn't. He was in a more Robin-ish costume.
Because we didn't see him until the scene where Batman.
Oh, sorry, we only heard his voice. You may be right. Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't see him yet.
I mean, I get what they were trying to do. They were trying to go with the Red Hood, you know, the classic Red Hood look.
The mimic that, yeah.
But it looked ridiculous in the, in, looks the so bad. In the Japanese anime sort of prison. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it looks so weird. I can't get over it, that.
It looked ridiculous. One of the
Nightwing's costume looked so cool though.
Yeah, I mean Nightwing, Robin, and Red Robin all looked fine. Two things I'll say about regular Robin, which I'm assuming is supposed to be Damian.
It's supposed to be, but it's Damian in name only, pretty much.
His haircut is ridiculous. I mean, even a bald man with a comb over would laugh at his hairstyle. That's how ridiculous it looks. And you're right. It's Robin it's Damian in name only. And they don't even name him, thank God, because it would have ruined the character. And they actually said the words Damian.
I did like Monkey Chi, though.
No, but it's stupid. He's playing with a monk. His best friend is a monkey, and...
Well, it's just like Goliath in the comics.
Yeah, but Goliath looks... The monkey looks like a friggin'... Looks stupid. Looks
and doesn't Damien also have a puppy in the comics?
No, but Ace the Bat-Hound is a friggin' Rottweiler.
No, doesn't he have, like, a dog named, like, Titus or something in the comics?
Oh, yeah, Titus, whatever his name is.
Well, no, doesn't Damien... Isn't Titus Damien's puppy?
Yeah, but no, it's a big dog. It's not a small... You're talking about it like it's a friggin' Chihuahua dog. It's a friggin'...
Well, it's dark... Look at the end of... I think it's the end of Teen Titans, The Judas Contract, the animated movie. It's a puppy in that.
Okay, I'm talking about the comic version, which is a friggin' black, big...
Well, it had to start as a puppy, Adam.
Okay,
Dogs don't...
but I'm talking about the comics, which I read. You only read two of them, so I would know what it looks like.
I read more than two, Adam.
Okay, three. Sorry, I was wrong.
I read Batman. I read, well, Justice League, actually, guess is on a break right now until No Justice is over. So I guess that doesn't count anymore. I read Batman. I read Injustice 2. I read Batman Sins of the Father.
Okay, see, I didn't know you had all these. That's good.
So those are three. I read three currently.
Okay,
right now.
Well, I was one off. Point being.
But once Justice League comes back, that'll be four. And then once Catwoman comes out in July, on July 4th, same day as Back at Wedding, then I'll be reading five.
But point being...
Oh, and I'll be reading the Batman Prelude to the Wedding stuff, too. So that'll be another...
Point being, the way... The monkey and the way he interacts with the monkey, to me, was ridiculous and totally out of... And the problem was, not that it's goofy, because I don't... Certain things I don't mind goofy, but it's the fact that it was Damien. And Damien, in any incarnation... is anything but a goofball or goofy. So this, to me, didn't feel right.
It didn't bother me too much, even though, yeah, it's not really Damien. Again, like I said, it's Damien and Eam only, but I joke about that because to me, it didn't really bother me. It's more in line with Damien as he's portrayed in the Batman Unlimited films, which I quite enjoy. So it didn't bother me that much. Monkey Chi, like I said, I liked Monkey Chi up until they did, again, one of the worst parts of this movie was actually probably the worst part of this movie. Because, again, I really like this movie. There's very few things I don't like about this movie. But where it got out of hand for me was that stupid when the monkeys all came together and fought a big robot. And it was that. And then when the bats came together and formed the – which it was cool that they formed like the original – like design of Batman.
Well, it was ridiculous.
But it was ridiculous. Yeah. I will say the first time the bats came in and it was like a nod to Year One or to Batman Begins.
Yeah, that worked.
Oh, that was so cool. I was like, oh shit.
But so that worked.
That was incredible.
But then, going back to something. So all basically point being, all the main animation I dug a lot. Then we have
Alfred looked exactly the same as he always looked.
Yeah,
that was
and the Batmobile looked very like something.
It looked like the Arkham Knight Batmobile
exactly,
a little bit.
Yeah. But then we have those two transitions of animation. One where it's the training montage where they're training the ways of the ninja, right?
Yeah.
And then there's that Joker and Harley scene.
There's one more that changes.
Yeah.
It's when Catwoman's showing Batman and all the different villains, and you get like that sort of
that kind of Suicide Squad sort of montage kind of thing.
Yes, or
video splash or whatever you call it.
Exactly.
Here's my problem. I'm with you in that Harley Joker scene was terrifying and disturbing, because at one point I thought the way it sounded and the way it kind of was being portrayed, I thought Red Hood was raping Harley, and I'm like, what's going on in this movie? I'm still not sure that didn't happen, but
no, it did not happen at all.
But who knows? With what I saw in this movie, I don't know what the hell I was watching. But the transition to those three pieces of animation, I hated them.
Like, really?
They are the epitome of why I can't like that style of animation is why I can't stand anime and manga just in general. It's just
you see, it's not like my preferred animation style, but the one I thought particularly worked brilliantly was the Joker Harley one. Here's why. It gave it this sort of like almost this, I don't even know how to describe but, it, this the otherworldly.
The second time they showed it, because it was more of the regular animation where it shows that he did it on purpose and he used the growing flowers to sort of bring like,
yeah, yeah,
make him crazy again. When he wipes the blood and it makes a smile, that was done in the traditional animation, like the main animation of this movie.
Uh-huh.
And that same, it was recounting that same scene, and it was even more terrifying with the normal animation.
You see, I thought it worked really well in that scene, how they did the different animation. Because it gave this otherworldly feel to it almost, where you couldn't quite figure out exactly. It was sort of unsettling and sort of like discombobulating. And
I just didn't like it because I typically don't like that kind of animation. But also, I think the transition took me sort of out of the moment for a few minutes.
Well, that's the thing. It sort of discombobulates you so that you can't. It's like because. It's a mystery what's going on there, and so I thought it sort of matched up well because like you're trying to figure out what's going on there. And no,
for me, all it did was confuse.
We disagree on the animation there, but we got to talk about that scene.
No, but that scene was awesome. Yeah,
was incredible, dude.
Yeah,
that scene was incredible. Yeah. Like it just, I literally got shivers watching that scene. I was like, because you first Red Hood sees them, and there's something. Okay, do you remember the War of Jokes and Riddles when Joker was like really subdued and couldn't laugh?
Yeah.
There's something almost scarier about a Joker who's like that, who's like calm and docile than there is. It's almost scarier sometimes when he's like that than he is when he's completely like berserk crazy. Because like he was so frightening, and him and Harley and Red Hood's like isn't buying it for a second, and he's like beating on them, and then Batman shows up, and the line that got me was Batman was like, I can see it in his eyes. It's not there. He can't hide that part of himself. It's too much of who he is.
And the fact that he did it like on purpose, he wasn't lying, but at the same time, he orchestrated on purpose, made Joker even more sinister and creepy, I thought.
Oh, yeah. And that scene, and then at the end when they smell the flowers and they just start howling. Yeah. Oh, it's so creepy. Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
So that was good. I really liked that.
That was
that scene.
Incredible.
I even liked the idea of, the reasoning behind what Grodd was doing to get them into feudal Japan. I thought that made sense, the time travel machine and sort of wanting to rewrite history. That's very much very grandiose, something that I could see Grodd, trying to do.
Have you seen the Madagascar movies, Adam?
The animated ones?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember the hippos in that movie? What was it? It's the guy who's like, I've got. My name's so nice, you say it twice. What's that?
Yeah,
what was that
guy's name? I don't remember the name of the character. I'm drawing a blank.
That scene with Grodd in the like pool reminded me of that scene with the hippos in I think it's the second Madagascar movie.
Yeah, no, for sure. But what I liked about it was that
I'm not saying that. No, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that as a negative.
But what I'm saying is, I totally bought into Grodd's machinations that led him into feudal Japan. Like, I totally got that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I like the aspect of them being in feudal Japan because it reminds me of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, Turtles in Time. And I have a soft spot for that movie, so Whether people hate it or not, screw it.
Nostalgia
wins all. But
I like the scene with Grodd where with Catwoman when he throws the banana in the bin, or not the bin, the vase or whatever, and she's like, isn't that a little cliche?
Yeah, and then he says, isn't the cat burglar dressing up in a cat suit? So that banter was good. But also
that was really funny.
So the reasoning for what Grodd was doing and how they got there, I totally bought. Grodd's basic sort of betrayal of Batman to sort of one up the Joker and sort of, you know what I mean, take control. I like that all the core villains that were in this were sort of battling for control and ownership of feudal Japan. And it was like a war going on. That was a cool part of it. I dug that a lot.
Except for Bane. For some reason, he wasn't involved.
Bane, but Bane is another negative for me, because all it is, like, he's literally in it for, what, 3 to 5 minutes? And he's literally a sumo wrestler.
But, Adam, it was a reference to the animated series, The Batman.
I get it, but it just...
Do you remember the episode Traction?
Yeah.
Where they did their Nightfall adaptation?
Yeah.
And Batman dons that amazing... I always thought this was the coolest thing, his armored bat suit in that episode that he puts on.
Yeah.
That's what Batman did here, and he fought Bane, and I was like, that's totally...
I'm not knocking Batman. I'm knocking Bane's overall look. Like, he looks like a friggin' sumo wrestler.
Well, I thought that was cool. Sort of like you're interpreting it into, you know, feudal Japan. It's like, okay, well, Bane, he's like this big, like muscular, like.
But also, he's in brawler. He's literally in it for 3 to 5 minutes. That's one thing I'll say. I think the aside from Grodd and Joker, the supporting villains, if you will call them that, were very, very minimalistic, and not real. Aside from, okay, they wanted to take over this. And aside from their part at the end, it really didn't have much to do in this film.
That's true, but the story, I mean, I can't fault the movie for that, because it's not about them.
But it's just like, let's use them because we can, and I thought, okay.
Well, I'd rather have them than not have them. I mean, they served a part of the story in that they were all fighting for Japan, all fighting to take over Japan.
I would have liked to see more of that. If you're going to have them in there, I would have liked to see more of that battle for, you know what I'm saying? They kind of glossed over it, and sort of that kind of... It's something I didn't care for. But so
you just wanted to hear Tara Strong as Poison Ivy more.
But wasn't she Hardy?
She was both.
Yeah, I was okay because she was Hardy, so I was good.
Oh,
I was good on the Tara Strong bullshit. It wasn't to do that. but so I liked all the, you know, the fact that they were battling for, you know, control of Japan. That was cool. And there was the moment where Batman was, you know, where Batman's been defeated, and sort of, the Batman just saved them, and they told him about the prophecy and how it was foretold that basically Batman was going to come and sort of free Japan from these tyrants that wanted to take over, that type of thing. That was all really cool. That was great. And then when Batman is basically sort of, when all his toys, as he refers to it, are taken away from him, and he's like, we got to go back to the basics. And we got to interpret the ways of the ninja. I was really getting amped up for something that was going to be like a, you know, old school, you know, Joker as a ninja, Batman as a ninja, all these villains as ninjas, the Bat ninjas and the Bat family helping him, you know, this big ninja battle. And so I was really on board. And then what do we get? It turns into Power Rangers. Imagine the Power Rangers and Transformers. Like the Megazords and the Transformers have a one night stand, and the female version gets pregnant, and what pops out is what happened in this movie. It's just
I'm with you on that. I agree. That's the worst part of this movie.
And here's the thing. I actually am a fan of Transformers in general, as well as, you know, the original Power Rangers show. I grew up on that, so I'm a fan of that stuff. But I had a problem with it here, not because it was in a Batman movie, but because we are in feudal Japan. So what is that? 1600 something? Something along that line? You know, the past. Basically, the point is the far-flung past where technology is at a minimum, right? Batman even references that. And what do we have? Giant friggin' robots. We have, you know,
castles, a monkey, a giant monkey,
castle slash houses transforming and turning into giant robots. A giant monkey, a giant Batman formed of bats. And it's just like, look, if this was set in modern day Japan, this plot point might have worked.
But I still wouldn't have liked it. No, that was ridiculous.
But do you not think it would have been better had it been modern day? It would have at least made more sense.
It would have made more logical sense, okay, but it still was silly. It still was so silly. Sure. It was just like, what in the world?
Sure. But my point is, it would have
been the monkey was the worst part. I was like, are you serious right now?
But it made more logical sense if it would have been modern day. Is my point. Here in feudal Japan, where technology is at the like is essentially hand to hand combat and ninja armor, it makes absolutely no sense. Zero.
Wait a minute. Actually, Adam, I just realized how they... I realized how they made it work. Do you remember the line in the movie where they said that they had expedited the Industrial Revolution because they were, like, transporting coal? You see, so that's how they had the technology.
But visually, I still don't buy it. Like,
well, visually, I'm saying it's still terrible, but that's... Actually, I'm going to disagree with you that it doesn't make sense in feudal Japan because they... Explain that away, actually. There's a line where they explain
it. Okay, it was one line. It would have helped if it would have been more expanded upon. But a lot of the things, considering this was an hour and a half, were kind of glossed over. And that's
part of hour and 25 minutes.
Okay, well, wow. 5 minutes. Point is, they glossed over a lot of stuff. But I didn't buy it. And the animation, like visually... In feudal Japan and giant robots, I don't know, to me it doesn't mesh.
I agree. It looked so silly. I didn't like that either. I'm saying that there is a logical explanation for why they were able to build them.
I just don't agree with their in-story one-line explanation.
But I will say I agree with you. That's the worst part of the movie. That's pretty much the only part of the movie that I really, really don't like is those.
However, the last portion of the third act, where it's each member of the Bat Family fighting one of the villains in hand-to-hand combat.
That was awesome.
And you have Batman and Joker on the rooftop.
With the sword fight that we saw in the trailer?
Yes. Yeah.
That was incredible. And that's what I was about to bring up to you, because I was going to defend, because you were like, you wanted to see them, like, fight without Batman fighting without weapons, and that was it.
I wanted more of a movie of that than once Batman's been stripped of his technology, which he was. It was blown up. Then I wanted more of that, and I didn't get it. I got more robots and giant monkeys.
Oh my goodness, that sword fight, that was awesome. Yeah. And the other fight that stood out to me is both of the Catwoman versus Harley fights were so cool.
I love
Catwoman, but I love, Catwoman has one of the coolest fighting styles of anyone in the DC universe. And that's why she's my favorite play. Well, I do love, just because I love Catwoman's character, but that's one of the other reasons why she's one of my favorite. She is my favorite character to play as in Injustice, even over Batman, is because I love her fighting style. And in this movie, it was really on display in her fights with Harley. That was awesome. But yeah, also that Batman versus Joker sword fight. It was so intense. Them going at one another. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and then when you think, spoilers, I mean, we said already, but when he stabs quote unquote Batman and he thinks he's won.
Yeah,
that was just like a mirage, and Batman is behind him, and it's basically a turnabout fair play to the beginning part where Joker was behind him.
Yeah,
and it kind of called back to that. That stuff was great, and that's more of the movie that I wanted.
Theatricality and deception.
Yeah,
Adam.
Yeah.
Another Batman Begins nod there.
This movie to me is very much split down the middle, a mixed bag. So those are pretty much my overall. That's my take on the movie. Is there anything else you want to add, particularly?
I think I probably liked it more than you did. My only real big complaint is the robot fighting thing and the monkey that stuff was a mess. I do want to touch on that final scene with Catwoman once they return to Gotham. I love that, seeing her get the money for stealing the the vase. That was so cool. So yeah, I love that. I also loved another scene with Catwoman earlier that I wanted to bring up was when she basically had Alfred surprise Bruce. That cracked me up.
Yeah, that was cool. And then he's got the tea, and he's talking about the tea. Yeah, that was a cool moment.
Yeah, yeah. So I loved all of that. Catwoman, all the Bat-Cat stuff. I mean, I really loved all of that. So yeah,
and overall, I was okay with it because it wasn't overly like lovey-dovey. Like it wasn't CW romance. It was just like it was a good amount, but without, you know, like force feeding it.
Well,
so I was okay with it.
I wanted more.
Yeah, but I know you did, but I was okay. But I'm saying I actually enjoyed it in this because it wasn't force fed down.
Well, I'm glad you did. I'll just say I wanted more, but I was extremely pleased with everything we got. I thought what we got was amazing. I just wanted more of it. That's okay though. But that's okay though because we just got Batman and Gotham on Gaslight, this year, and
which is heads and tails a far superior film.
I won't argue that. That's my favorite animated film ever.
It's not even close.
That's my favorite animated film ever, yeah. And what it did with the Bat-Cat relationship was unbelievably amazing. But this still did some great stuff with the Bat-Cat relationship. Another thing I'll point out is former Terry McGinnis and former Nightwing, Will Friedle, playing a different Robin in this movie, which is he played Red Robin, which was kind of interesting. So it feels like he's making his way through the whole Bat family. He played Terry in Batman Beyond, and then he played Nightwing in the Batman Unlimited films, and now he's playing Tim.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
And I liked him as all characters.
Well, have you seen the Batman Unlimited films now?
I've seen not every single one. Three?
There's three, yeah.
If I remember correctly, they were on TV not too long ago. I saw two of them.
Seriously? Wait, which ones did you see?
I think they were the first two. Because they felt very, very, like, it was a double bill kind of thing. Like, one after the other. So it would have been stupid if they would have aired the first and the third one.
Sure. Okay, so probably Animal Instincts and Monster Mayhem.
Yeah.
I will say, I like all three of those films, but the third one's the best one. I will say, though, Adam, they do... The third one is basically like Pacific Rim Batman. So I don't know how you'll take it since you didn't like the big robot fighting in this movie. I will say for me it works much better in that movie.
To me it just depends on, like, again, it depends on the context and the time period, and it just doesn't work in Feudal Japan. I'm sorry. For me it doesn't fly.
Okay. Well, I'll just say for me I didn't like it in this movie, but I do like it in
I could like it in another interpretation of Batman. It just can't be set in feudal Japan.
Okay.
Is what I'm driving at.
Well, that wasn't really my problem with it in this movie, but I will say, even though that's the case, even though I didn't like it just from an aesthetic standpoint in this movie, I do like it better in Mex vs. Mutants. But that's okay. That's my big criticism with this movie, is it just got way too weird with that stuff. But other than that, I like pretty much everything else about this movie. I enjoyed immensely.
All right.
And the score, the music. I brought this up in one of the trailers, and I brought up in the trailer how much I liked the music, but I wasn't sure if it was actually going to be the score in the movie, and it was.
Yeah, and the music worked for me.
And did you notice? Oh, when the monkeys play the, or maybe it's Damien.
It's Damien. The Batman 6016.
The Batman 6016. That was a cool nod.
Yeah, as I was cringing over the monkeys, I actually had a small smile flash across my face.
That was cool. And did you notice Gotham on a recent episode did that too? They played the Batman
6016. Jerome.
Yeah, so that was kind
of cool. I gotta say, the design of Gotham in the beginning portions and Arkham Asylum were fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was awesome. And I love how the movie starts with this Catwoman monologue.
See, like, to me, the main like, if they did a whole thing set in, like, Gotham proper, in the main animation style of this movie, sign me up. I'd be there for that.
Hey, well, I'd be there for that, too. Did you like Batman Gotham Knight?
That was the one with the different vignettes.
Yeah, but it was in anime style.
The mini story? The mini story? The one with the mini stories?
Yeah, they were all mini stories.
I didn't care for that.
Oh, you didn't? That. Well, that's what you were asking for. It's set in Gotham mostly, but it's with those...
Yeah, but this animation, the main animation style of this, I like better than what they did with the stories in that movie.
With all of them? Because they were all different animation styles in that movie.
Yeah, most of the animation in that movie from the different stories I didn't care for.
Okay. I really like Gotham Knight, but okay.
But yeah, I guess if there's nothing else, we can go ahead and rate this thing.
Yeah, I guess so.
So go ahead and give your rating.
I am going to give Batman Ninja an A-.
And I'm going to give this a C+.
Oh, wow. We are really on different pages on this one.
Yeah, it's definitely not one that, like, usually if I buy it digitally and I really like it, I'll buy the physical copy. This one, I'm not buying the physical copy. And in all honesty, it's probably not one I'll pop in and watch again. So that's where I'm at.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, half of it was good, so I'll hang on to that.
One other thing I'll throw in, and I brought this up, I think, when we talked about the trailers, is I love that it really was a Bat family movie.
Sure,
I thought that was great.
That aspect of it was cool, yeah.
So I didn't mention that, but I'll mention that now. So.
Yeah, that aspect of it was cool. And since we are talking about Batman, it's a good time to point out that we are part of the Batman Podcast Network.
Good segue, Adam.
Right, see, it worked. hosted by the folks over at Batman on Film. So check us out there, but also other Batman-related podcasts. And now we'll do social media plugs. If people want to catch up with you and talk about Free Comic Book Day or whatever else they want to chat with you about, we're going to do that.
Absolutely. Hey, come talk to me about Tom King's story in DC Nation it came out a little bit before Free Comic Book Day, but it was sort of associated with Free Comic Book Day.
Don't spoil it.
They could talk about me. They could talk to me about it. I'm saying.
Yeah. Just don't tag me in the conversation. Hold on a second. By the time this comes out, I'll have read it.
That's true, right? Oh, okay, so sure. It doesn't matter.
Tag me in the conversation. What the hell?
Because it is amazing.
Yeah.
But you can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at BatFanJordanB. I also want to say, I was just, I got to give a big thanks to John Hammond from DC World. He just featured me in the latest edition of Confessions of a DC Geek, where he interviewed me about a lot of my favorite DC stuff and about my DC collection. So I had a ton of fun doing that. I want to give a big thanks to him and to everybody at DC Nation. DC World. DC Nation, I was just thinking about because of the comic that I was talking about. DC World. Anyway, that was a lot of fun. If you want to check that out, that's up on the DC World website. And also I want to solicit some iTunes reviews. So if you like what you hear from us, or if you don't, we'd love to hear from you in the form of an iTunes review, and it would help us out a lot. Thank you.
All right, cool. And if you want to find me, and if you are just as disheartened about Teen Titans Go to the Movies as I am, we can talk about our dislike of that on Twitter at Superhero Sci-Fi. I know Stephen Marshall shares my opinion. We've been chatting about that. And so if anybody wants to join in on that fun, or if you want to talk to me about stuff from DC that I actually like, find me at Superhero Sci-Fi. Until next time, have a wonderful week or a great weekend, depending on when you're listening to this. So long, everybody.
Batcat forever, from the first kiss to the last. Bye-bye.